the longest time Magid Shiur in the shul. Perhaps one of the members of the shul who challenged the Rav to the highest level of Lamdanus. So we'll definitely get a very deep and educated perspective on the Rav Zatzal. The basic message that was hammered home at the Hespedim was that the Rav was the Ish Shar Yichud HaMaisa, the Ish Shar HaBitachon, and the Ish Emes. And there's no doubt that it's this type of living with Hashem that we all know, and as the Rav himself taught us, that is the natural, you know, that is the natural flow and conduit to the Kisei HaKavod, to have that type of living with Hashem. But what was so clear, and the Maspidim themselves all mentioned this, and after, you know, spending a couple of hours with the Rav's children yesterday, was that everything was so sudden and shocking for everyone to be able to go ahead then and do justice on Erev Shabbos and such with the pressure and the time pressure to be able to really convey to everyone who this individual was, who our Rav was, was kimat impossible. So although I've had a little more time to reflect, a couple of days, and maybe offer a little more of a picture, clearly a few days of reflecting on, how many years, 16 years? 18 years. And a couple of hours since in the afternoon when Rav Jacobson came and asked me to speak, so obviously this will not do justice. But I think what has to be understood is that while we all can live with Hashem to a certain level, and the Rav would talk about it, you should be talking to Hashem, thinking about Hashem, thanking Hashem, but at the end of the day, without doing Ratzon Hashem, and utilizing one's kochos to the fullest, we all know there'll be some lacking. There'll be a lacking in a person's being an ish shalem. Now, those who have been in yeshivas and been exposed to talmidei chachamim, been exposed to magidei shir, to poskim, to balei musar, to balei avoda, to big medaktike b'mitzvahs, anshei tzedakah v'chesed, know that it is almost impossible to find the same individual that can strive, even just strive, and excel in all these areas, because often they're very paradoxical even. And I'll give some examples of this. But the Rav, you'll see, it's amazing. And again, I'm not going to be able to capture all of this, but he strove and succeeded in so many areas of Avodas Hashem. He's telling me, keep going. Let me break it down. Talmud Chacham. Rare Talmud Chacham. We all know of gifted individuals who have tremendous quick tfisa, who can chap things very quickly, who could read Gemara, Rishonim, Achronim even, and even chop them quickly and read through of Shev Shmaisa and Amidchas Chinuch. We've seen great, great people like this and can rip through it and have Havana and understand it very, very quickly. Again, they're unique individuals who could do this. Who could do it, you know, could read a Shev Shmaisa like it was a Hardy Boys book, you know, Lahavdil, in terms of that type of speed and tfisa and quickness. But to have that, and also be an individual who can plumb the depths and think through an issue and have that zitzfleish to sit on a sugya and to get down to the core concepts in a super abstract way. Anyone who ever knows, in the early years when we pressed the Rav, I'm not sure if we were here yet or there, I don't remember where we were, downstairs, upstairs. So we pressed him to give shir and Rav Chaim and then Rav Abba. So the abstract understanding of halacha, and yet he was able to rip through it like he was reading Shev Shmaisa. It was crazy. How he was able to do it. I'm telling you, you do not find this. It really is almost paradoxical to be able to be someone who can learn quickly, catch things quickly. It almost doesn't go together, because the person who's the lamdin, the one who's penetrating, how does he also go so quick? But he did. He did it. Amazing. And that's how he was able to, you know, accomplish all of what he's able to accomplish. Just to give you an example of the speed, and he could edit, dap him in minutes, but with real diktuk and real depth. If Jacobson could tell you, he's an editor for Art Scroll. But not only that, a story I mentioned to his sons yesterday. A good friend of mine, I have something from him, we'll end off with him. A good friend of mine, Dr. Yidel Avi, when he was giving a Chazar Shir on 7 daf of Bekiyas, he used to have over Chult, 7 daf, he gave a little Chazar, 7 daf, and he didn't want the Rav actually to come to you know, hear it, so he tried to do it at a time when the Rav wouldn't come, but the Rav wanted to go be Mechazikim, so he'd come be Mechazikim. So I remember the first time we were up there, we were upstairs, and the Rav was sitting next to me, and he was giving his chazara. Ido was giving his chazara, and the Rav was sitting next to me, out cold. I look at him, he's like sleeping through the whole thing. Out cold, sleeping. Afterwards, after we finished, he basically went up to, you there? He went up to him afterwards. I'm telling you, he looked like he was mamish asleep. He went up to me and said, you know, do you mind if I help you a little bit? Make a couple of hours. You know, I do this for a living. And then he went through all 7 daf. I'm telling you, almost every single daf, and made a ara on every single daf, and his eyes were shut the whole time. So I told it to his son. He said, yeah, different, you know, different dargas of sleep a person could have. You know, like, give me the whole analysis of it. But Imamish kept through it. Like, Crazy, incredible. Like I was up, I was spacing out half of the time. Anyway, that again, that's crazy kochos and of striving and pushing. And but we should also understand is it wasn't only in the area of halacha. It's the areas of hashkafa. Areas of hashkafa, you know, people, you know, the Rav, on one hand, would get up here, and it would frustrate some of us at times, because he gave his drushes as if he was talking to us. And people wanted a drusha, and they wanted the maybe quicker. But if you listen to the week in and week out, I challenge anyone to go across the whole Ramat Beit Shemesh, across all the Yerushalayim, for someone to week in and week out be mechadesh ideas in Torah. You don't find it. I'm telling you, you don't find it. Incredible. And he definitely could have got it here, got up here and winged it, like with, you know, rattling off, Vartlich and rushes, but he had to think it through. When we used to have the Yarche Kala, I used to have to press him and torture him to go give what was called the grand finale. Because even though, like, when he'd come and he'd learn Shev Shmaisa, and he'd sit and learn with you, and he chapped these things in Chaschinuch of Chaim's in seconds, but if he had to go ahead and give a shir and really be Mechadesh, he had to spend time and sit on it. He knew he had to sit on it, and that was, with all his obligations, it was very, very difficult, but, you know, he did it. And then we move on to another area. That was just him as Talmud Chacham. But then you move into as Posek. just combining that to be a Talmud Chacham, I mean a real Talmud Chacham in Lomdis, and be a Posek nowadays is also tremendously rare. Nowadays, the even big Poskim today don't do, like, are not the Paiskim like Rav Moshe, who was both writing up Dibris Moshe and Igris Moshe simultaneously. Many big Poskim today, the Malachtim of, you know, and they know a lot. But he would sit, and he was Mechadesh in Psak as well. Not that he was looking to always be Mechadesh, if something was Dashu Be'Rabim, you know, he'd say, okay, this is already something that, you know, the great poskim already went through time and time again. But if it was a shaila that, you know, was new, I think many of the old timers remember my son's, they remember, his sons remember, my son's bar mitzvah was Milchamto Shel Torah. The last shir he gave of the Milchamto Shel Torah was a shaila, a very complex shaila, my son with his tefillin. Which hand he's supposed to put the tefillin on. Again, this is a shaila that's been asked time and again, but he learned the sugya up. He taught a shir, be'ian on it, and then came to the psak. That is rare. That is very, very rare. It's crazy. And be a paisek, and to spend that type of time. Spend that type of time to be a paisek and to still be a lamed and to still go ahead and learn this way, and as I said, to, you know, go ahead and learn as quickly as he did, you know, and people didn't talk about the Harbatz's Torah, which he also just viewed as a very small part of his life, which, you know, many could say is really his legacy, the Harbatz's Torah of Art Scroll. You know, he did that all. He was also a Poisek. He did this while he was a Poisek in America. And what I think people don't appreciate about being both a lamdin and a posek, and I remember my Rebbe used to always say this, was that this was the uniqueness of, like, when he talked, he gave a hesped for Rav Moshe Feinstein. He said, what you don't realize is that when someone is a lamdin, a real brisker, like anyone knows Rav Abba, he was like super brisk, like, you know, brisk on steroids. So if you learn like that, to be able to have a siyata d'shmaya, to come to a decision in a psak, is mamish siyata d'shmaya. It's like exactly what I just said. Because you see every possibility, right? Like if you go to brisk, you see they're basically machmir for everything. Because how could you not be? Because if you see every possibility, then you're going to be machmir, but he had to come and he had to be a paskin, he had to be a paisek. The brisker doesn't do that. He's machmir. You go to Brisk, they have, you know, one esrog up on the top of the bima. Everyone has to be machmir for it. But he paskin. That's a siyata d'shmaya. Again, it's much easier if you're just being malake psak. But if you can see all the different studim and then take a stand on it. Let's talk about davening. I'll give you another paradoxical, you know, many people didn't know him that well, could might have observed how fast he davened. He davened very fast. But he also davened with tremendous kavana. Anyone ever like take a peek when everyone was davening shachris, he's saying his tehillim over here, also pretty quickly, but he understood what he was saying. And just the avoda in davening, that he had in Vasikin. Again, that all connected up to obviously the Ish Shai Yichra Maisa that he was and Ish Emes. Once again, Balei Musar. How often do you find the Bris Galamdin being a Baal Musar? Being a chovas of alavavah, it doesn't really go together. Okay, Chaim Shmulevitz might have been the, you know, Rosh Hashiva and the, you know, it also gave Musa, but not the super brisker. They don't go ahead and, you know, live Musa, chovas alavavas. Again, I haven't seen it. Have you seen it? I haven't seen it. Again, I'm not that old, and I haven't been to all the yeshivas in the world, but I've asked around, and not many people have seen it. And then there was, you know, his being a bedaktik b'mitzvahs that we all saw in terms of in the sukkah. It was interesting. One of his sons said last night that he didn't, you know, he wasn't into like, you know, spending like hours over the Esrig and Lulav, but he spent a ton of money on his Esrig and Lulav to make sure he had a good one. And he'd be sitting in his sukkah the whole time. Again, that's all part of it. And really, if we have to sum it up, as I said, it all comes down to putting all the living with Hashem and thinking about Hashem and thanking Hashem into doing Ratzon Hashem. And Rav Jacobson, you know, spoke about Avoda. That's how he viewed it all. He viewed everything as an Avoda. If he ever, you know, explained to you, if you ever sat with him, because you were confused, like I was many times with Chovas Halavavos and Shara Bitachon, and, you know, because it's a very difficult area, because it goes against, you know, everything we do, bitachon goes against everything we do in this world. We eat. It's very hard to put it together. And what he basically would always say is, bitachon is an avoda. It's an avoda. It's every day that avoda. And that was his life. His life was a daily avoda. And he'd talk, if you ever caught him in a moment, he'd talk about his, you know, his natural tendencies, his own personal, you know, midos that he'd have to overcome. But it was the avoda was all there. And it was avoda in midos. I remember from the early days, in the area of midos, you know, many times people saw him very tough, and very tough on people, and this might have given a certain impression. But I could tell you there were times when there were individuals giving the Rav in the early days a very rough time. And I had told him back then, and I was begging him, you know, you want me to do something about this? And he'd say it's going to cause a machlokas. And I have a mesorah that machlokas causes much more of an issue than, you know, what you want to try to accomplish, even if it is l'shem shemayim. Now, that seems like a steer to some of the things that you might have seen from the Rav over the years, but it's not. Because if there was an issue of it had to be done, this is Ratzon Hashem, this is MS, then he's going to do it. And that's what you have to do. But if there was an area where there was any shemet, and this was, had to do with his own personal kavod, as well as what he thought ultimately would be the smartest thing to do. And I can tell you, anyone who would have been in his shoes would not have been able to stand up to it. So if anyone ever, you know, might have thought that some of the things that he did, some of the things that he stood, had to do with standing up for his own personal kavod, it was, I can guarantee you, from knowing him very, very so well, that it's not true. It's not true, and it's something that I feel the need to express, because if you don't get to know someone, and you don't really know someone, you could have impressions based on what you read, what you hear. I just want to end off with something from a good friend of mine. I asked him because he was there with me in the early days, and we spent a lot of, you know, I'm talking now, but there was a lot of times when, you know, some of you know me and know me and the Rav and know some of our interchanges. So another individual like this was Yidel Avi. Everyone who was close with him, for sure, had complicated relationships with him, because he was complex. If you have depth, and you're so brilliant, not everyone chaps. It's just the way it is. So anyway, I asked him to send me something because we were in it together with the Rav for many, many of these shmuzim and discussions. He sent me the following. He said, still obviously stunned. The Hespedim were all straight from the heart, but obviously impossible to capture the man in that shocking moment. That will take time. But I think the powerful, lasting image that will linger in people's minds is his body wrapped in talis in front of the bima. As if he's giving his final drasha. As if to say, this is the end game. This is the end game that I've been telling you all about. Now, this is from Ido. I'm not going to take it out. He goes, this is why I pounded the Mountain Dew, the Diet Mountain Dew, and pushed it and anyone else who would listen to never stop learning and doing chesed and doing the Ratzon Hashem beyond the normal physical limits. He spoke often of this day, and I'm sure he hoped to accomplish much more. But he was more prepared for this than any of us. I know his larger-than-life persona will be felt for generations, as only the personalities of the greatest among us can be. And if his actions in life are any indication, he is undoubtedly making his presence felt in the Olam HaEmes with the welfare of the Kehila he devoted the last close to 20 years to foremost on his agenda. And now he adds on a personal note. I don't know if I'm allowed to add this, but I asked him if I could and he didn't get back to me, so here goes. He had every reason to have issues with me over the years. In the early days, we worked closely together. He would show up at my house with a shul list. Many of us remember this because he did it to all of us. Asking me if I knew the reason why each member on the list wasn't at night seder. We did have one disagreement, which we discussed on several occasions. I thought maybe he should put on more of a show for the crowd, learn people's grandmothers' names from America, and tell them stories of his days as a dayan instead of giving over Shev Shmaisa. He tried to explain to me the obvious fact that he wasn't that kind of rabbi. His sincerity was his essence, and he couldn't stray from that if he tried. Over time, I did not daven here in the shul as often, and he was not happy about it. Yet even after that, when I decided to try give a weekly daf yomi review shiur, he moved mountains to support me. I purposely made the shiur at times that were physically impossible for him to come because I knew it would be a waste of his time. So I really didn't want him to go out of his way to be there. But that backfired because somehow he outsmarted me and arranged his schedule and took extra buses to attend every time and critiqued it and gave me feedback until he felt that I was on my feet with it. Now, when the new cycle starts, I hope to finally be neder, do a full cycle, and hopefully give that shiur l'ilu nishmaso, because he single-handedly supported me and taught me that I could do it. So now, my new kehila will, Bezat Hashem, have a daf yomi review shiur l'ilu nishmas, Chaim Zev ben Avram Aaron Alevi Zatzal. And that is just one very small aspect of the giant impact he had on so many people. In this way, his impact on all of us has just begun. May be a Melis Yosher for all of us, and may we be Zochet to see Yeshuos and Simchas Yizichro Baruch.